Thank you. from that community, but that after they saw the empty coal storage warehouse, that they thought there might develop a shortage. As a matter of fact, my own feeling is based on what we've heard, that the alcohol did not play a great part in the development of these situations, and I suppose, and this is my own feeling, that maybe just because of the fairly high consumption normally, that it just played its usual part, nothing much more. I did observe a number of people whom I, well, not a number, but three or four, who were new to the alcoholics on the day after the quake, looking very sadly and weakly into the shattered liquor stores. But the stores were open on the Saturday after the quake, and there was no great run on them at all. There was much more of a run on the food stores and things like that. But there'd be two or three people dropping into the liquor store.
Yeah. And this was quite early in the morning. Moving this up to get an operation. The household hadn't really begun to stir yet. And this is a great big machine, and it ground along in this manner, and it took the house. And well, our daughter was there out of bed, and in our room, she's terrified, and we had to reassure her.
Well, my little three-year-old wasn't bothered when my dad was shot. He laid in bed, something in the house, and I told him that it bothered him. But the dog was running for him, and we had to.
Inside and outside Alaska. Within the succeeding month after the quake, we have reports, although not statistics, about an increase in especially anxiety reactions and things in the Fairbanks area, in the southeast area, and other places outside the damaged area, which is, I phrase it in the article here, the insecurity and anxiety felt when Big Brother gets clouded until it's certain whether or not he's going to get up. Now, this, of course, wouldn't apply to Seattle. Nope.
I mean, this reaction of the struggle outside was shown by all the customers. They sent letters and occasionally their detail to all the drugstores, hospitals, and said, if you've got things broken, go replace them. And many of them had quite a bit of replacing to do. Because
a couple of times since then and talked with people, by no means a representative sample perhaps, but this same type of thing, there was this immediate anxiety until the information could be relieved. I don't
don't have any specific knowledge of any psychiatrists, patients who had relatives up here who had reactions one way or another, but by and large, their feelings were, well, just as their own, because I had a couple of psychiatrists trying to call me for several days based on their own anxieties, although they weren't that close friends. Well, you must remember that the mortgage holders of the Alaska mortgages are not in Alaska, and their percentage of loss could never have been very marked. I can say that by and large, none of them have very good public relations departments, because the letters that they sent out to people mainly reminded folk of Scrooge, and a person who had his house tipped over the bluff, for instance, would get a letter saying, we understand that there has been an earthquake or something roughly in that area that you may have suffered damage. How soon do you expect to make your next payment? Well, that's a psychological reaction. I don't think we're able to comment on you.
Well, it's true that these letters sound horrible. I think they're positive. It's like nasty communication to make for many people that gave them something very specific to focus on in terms of these angry reactions. It's easier to be mad at a mortgage company than a dog. And this may have been, at least had some positive aspect.
I don't know if they meant this.
Well, another reaction in which I felt was a positive one was extremely in that group of months.
Reactions to the Good Friday Earthquake, : Leadership in Anchorage.
Crisis may be defined variously as a crucial time, a time of emergency, a period when extraordinary stress is encountered, and so on. Essential to the definition and concept is a time frame. Crisis implies a relatively well-defined, if not discrete, occurrence. It tacitly, if not explicitly, is conceived to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, somewhat like the construction of a traditional novel. In Anchorage, investigation of reactions to the disaster have been limited to perhaps 3 or 4 weeks after the disaster. However, such foreshortening is not a complete or accurate representation of a crisis. For stress and unusual circumstances, at least in Anchorage, have continued long after the last tremor, long after all utilities were restored, long after evidence of the quake has been removed. It is my intention to briefly discuss three leadership reactions to a crisis which was engendered by the quake and is still continuing today. First is government by technician. Conventional wisdom and our democratic ideology have it that policy decisions are made by the representatives of the people. The function of a technical, professional, municipal staff is to translate policy determinations into practical administration. Though a certain degree of tactical flexibility exists in the carrying out of policy, there is, in theory, no doubt that it is the elected officials who should generate the guidelines by which the municipal staff operates. Though formally this was the situation in the 2 or 3 weeks immediately after the quake, it was not the situation in fact. Emergency ordinances, temporary operating procedures, policy decisions were acted on by a council which met almost every night and on weekends. The crush of work was such that council could not effectively initiate many actions. Thus, as Dean Acheson once described the policy-making process in the Department of State, the springs of policy bubbled up. Policy did not filter down from the top, as theory has it. Decisions as to areas of the city in which repair and reconstruction would be allowed, and this was obviously a decision of the greatest magnitude, were made by the city manager and his professional staff. It was then presented to council for what was ratification. The decision to use urban renewal as a tool for reconstruction was taken by council with a minimum of discussion, even though council had declined to undertake renewal projects in the downtown area only a few months previously. The suggested use of renewal came from the technical professional members of the city administration and the Alaska State Housing Authority. Only the formality of ratification again described council's part. The point here is that the usual processes of local democratic government aren't geared to crisis situations in which a large number of unusual, unfamiliar, novel decisions are required within a very short time span. Thus, the bureaucrats are forced to take over until a pace consonant with the usual functioning of the elected body is reestablished. In Anchorage, this took perhaps a month. The second situation I call enlisting the power structure in quotes. Within 48 hours after the quake, the mayor had appointed an Anchorage Reconstruction Commission. This body was created in order to bring together all those individuals who were considered to be influentials. In effect, this group was to be an extra-governmental lever which would harness non-governmental resources and energies for the tasks ahead so that they could expedite the reconstruction of Anchorage. The members included the presidents of the banks, representatives of labor, the Chamber of Commerce, Standard Oil, leading building contractors, the Alaska Railroad, 2 members of the Anchorage delegation to the state legislature, a city councilman, and the mayor, ex officio. In addition, the heads of Federal Housing Administration, Housing and Home Finance Agency, Alaska State Housing Authority, and the City Planning Department were included as, quote, staff assistants, unquote. Thus, the Anchorage Reconstruction Commission included financial, industrial, business, and government leaders. It was anticipated that they would have access to and influence in the high councils of the private sector. It would further be an example of the so-called local leadership in action, an example of the private sector helping the city to rebuild rather than completely relying on the state and federal government for assistance. An example of individualistic Alaskans helping themselves, an exercise in self-reliance, or so the reasoning went. The Anchorage Reconstruction Commission was stillborn. Several meetings of the so-called power elite were held. The organizational meeting at which a proposed action program was presented floundered because no one was willing to spend the time working for the committee or take the lead and organize a program. Interestingly enough, almost total emphasis was given to obtaining federal aid for the Anchorage area. The suggestion of private enterprise self-help met with little enthusiasm. The de facto epitaph of the Anchorage Reconstruction Committee was the decision to hire a high-powered coordinator to come to Anchorage to perform the tasks which the committee considered important. Such a person was never hired, and the Reconstruction Commission is no longer heard from. Thus, a forum for the power elite outside of government was created to help focus all leadership on the problems of Reconstruction. This forum was not used. But the final irony is that not too long ago, a member of the Reconstruction Commission was publicly complaining that control of Anchorage's reconstruction was being exercised from Washington, with no opportunity for local leadership and local control. The final case is entitled Amateur Leadership, City Council. Anchorage, Alaska has a council-manager form of government. Thus, this theoretically vests all administrative and managerial responsibility in a professionally trained government administrator, the city manager. Municipal elections are nonpartisan. Political organizations do not effectively operate, and councilmen are amateurs in government who run as individuals. Council is basically a body of equals, with the mayor as only first among equals. It is theoretically council's function to dictate policy to the manager. It should be noted that the council manager form of government has been most successful in those communities where the electorate is relatively homogeneous and or where general community agreement as to major civic policy exists. Thus, and this is important, policy decisions, issues of great moment, become in effect technical issues and technical decisions. Before the earthquake, the city council and city manager were attempting to run a tidy housekeeping operation. Emphasis in government was on efficiency of operation, and the administration was efficient in the sense that the taxpayer's dollar went a long distance. However, before the quake, it was apparent that council had great difficulty in coming to basic policy decisions if the community was divided on an issue. The council manager form of government lends itself somewhat to a diffusion of power. Such diffusion exists not only between council and manager in areas of policy determination and subsequent execution, but also within the council itself. For, as noted, except for his title, the mayor is not much more than an ordinary council member. He has no political means to reward or punish those who do not follow his lead. If he is to be a leader, that he must lead by persuasion. No matter how efficiently the Anchorage council manager form of government functioned before the quake, it is clear that it has not functioned effectively since the quake. The distinction between efficient and effective government is stated by Edward Banfield. In his terminology, efficiency refers to the quality and type of government services for the tax dollar, very much as an economist's definition of efficiency. Effectiveness implies the ability to get the job done, the ability to lead. What has been needed in Anchorage since the quake has been decisive and resolute leadership. It must be emphasized that this need has not diminished as March 27 fades into the background. Basic decisions as to the future direction of growth of the Central Business District and location of major highways to feed and discharge it still have to be made. Decisions to use certain federal programs, such as urban renewal, and in what ways, have to be made. Actually, the crisis in Anchorage is greater now than in the several weeks after the quake. Immediately after the quake, there was little time and less choice of what to do. Emergency repair was required and done. There was no option to act otherwise. However, the crisis has heightened in the intervening months, because basic decisions as to alternative methods of reconstruction and the future economic development of Anchorage must be taken. Time pressures still exist, though 5 months post-quake, they are measured in weeks rather than hours. But the crisis is great because the issue of future community development is so central. Weeks are not enough in which to make a decision, particularly when a community consensus and well-defined leadership does not exist. There are several major reasons for the continuing state of crisis in Anchorage. One, major changes must be made too quickly, and this is perhaps a sufficient reason for the crisis. Two, community consensus has not developed. Three, the council manager form of government does not provide the structure which would bring forth leadership in the form of a strong executive, nor does it provide a handy mechanism for the resolution of conflict. Four, the community views government in the role of responding to challenges and as neutral. Government, as the initiator of action, is, if not alien, certainly distrusted. And five, the quality of local leadership, private and public. The impact of a disaster on local government, therefore, must be viewed over a longer time span than the immediate post-disaster period. There is general appreciation and interest in research on the individual under stress. Now is the time to broaden the concept of stress to include governmental units and for a considerable time after a disaster.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sarnoff, for your thoughtful statements and remarks. As an operating procedure, we did decide, again being slaves to the clock, that we would delay questions until all of the speakers have delivered their remarks, after which time we will, as time permits, allow you to invite the responses from the various speakers. Our second participant this afternoon is well known to those of you at the university and in the Fairbanks area. Ms. Agnes Sunnell is with the Extension Service of the university and will deal with her recorded observations of housewives on the reactions of the earthquake to their own households.
Thank you, Dr. Ray. Since my material is on tape, I'll not read it, but just introduce my guests who are here on the tape. Thanks to six Homemaker Council friends who were here in June, I have this material. We sat and talked, and we had much more material than I could use. The women are from Seward, Anchor Point, and Anchorage. We sat in an informal session and gossiped. You might as well just call it what it was. Informally, because it seemed to me that when we laid that microphone out, they said, oh my goodness, I never, talked into a microphone. Well, we didn't. Then we put it on a chair over here. So the microphone was there, and then I proceeded to cut up the tape afterward and piece it together to re-record. This is June 1, 8 weeks after the quake, and I wanted to know how the women felt about the experiences that they had had. I had many formats for the interview because I thought it would be stilted. The uh-huhs, the giggles, other inanities that go on in conversation. I tried to cut out, but I didn't get rid of quite all of them. So, since this conversation was much laughing and sighs, we will just excuse those if they are annoying. They may recall how things looked, their voices, their choice of words, or even lack of words at this time, 4 weeks after the crisis, show stress. I think you'll recognize it again and again. My first thought was just to record what they had to say and then read the stories to you. And I thought that I'd never do. I could never put that special feeling into it. Our first speaker on the tape is the postmistress at Anchor Point. She is calm, she is objective always, with a certain amount of humor, as you'll witness, you'll hear when she talks about the moose and their reaction to earthquake. The earthquake.
Thank you.
renewing to Anchorage now. Our fifth speaker is an assistant or part-time social worker at the Anchorage Psychiatric Institute. She works with people, objective, thoughtful, philosophical, tells about the change of values in their family living, things that were important no longer being important. She mentions the organization. I was quite interested in your comments about the organization in Anchorage. She took regular pride in good organization, in the care of taking of people immediately afterward, the defense agencies that went into action immediately. She gives much credit to teenagers, and that goes into this in some step. Previously to me, she had mentioned the fact, and discussed that there were religious implications of the quake coming on a Good Friday, and so then she reminded us that there are also some superstitions attached to this. People outside, there were family outside the state of Alaska carrying around Alaskans, how they manage in their home, and something about the aftermath of the quake. We'll start around and maybe a stop from time to time if we find the people.
Thank you. I said, And this is regardless of where Bob Stanton, who are trading the love of character, the black blaming. And it, that was one of the most terrifying things. Who was that Senator Oswald?
She goes on, she lives about 4 miles out of town. And she goes on to tell how she manages to get home and some of the sensations of getting over roads and around roads and over rivers. And she goes, Seward has many bridges just on the outskirts of Seward.
And they made that way, they did that as well, that they did that as well. And so, and I went outside of the town, and I stepped forward to the road, and a friend of mine was going to take them out to my home. And I got out of town, and as I ran across the open road, I noticed that there was a tree out on the road. And I thought the wrong place, on the wrong side of the road. And the radio station was still standing at the time, and I did not know this, but they had hit some of the trees back, which I did not know that, but I did not crack the road. And I went across the open road there, the people back in the people, and you think about another guy, and I did not know.
Tell us about the condition of houses as they came out of the highway.
Well, when you see a car up there on the street, and you see that there's a fire, but that was a little bit. I have home in the neighborhood, and I see that home on the street. I like a lot of things, and I like a lot of things, you know. But it's all sitting there all day. I feel that this way, it's a little exactly what I think. And I said, well, that's really what I'm driving.
Most of the destruction in homes was water and the tidal wave that took their possessions. Spaces and there are acts assume that all you get is kind of chatter, gossipy kind of thing. Well, the emotions are deeper than that, and I'm sure lasting. It's a picture of brave people pretending they aren't brave. That is something that I can give. I apologize to my machine that performed, I hope that you would.
Thank you, Mrs. Nell, for your very good on-the-spot recordings and